Okay, this is March 30th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Would you turn to Amy and say, there's a completely different way to go through life, and I have chosen that way.
There's a completely different way to go through life, and I've finally chosen that way.
There's a completely different way to go through life, and I've chosen that way.
Completely different way to go through life.
There's a completely different way to go through life, and I've chosen that way.
There's a completely different way to go through life, and I've chosen that way.
There's a completely different way to go through life, and I've chosen that way.
There's a completely different way of going through life, and I have chosen that way.
There's a completely different way of going through life, and I have chosen that way.
There's a completely different way of going through life, and I have chosen that way.
There's a completely different way of going through life, and I've chosen that way.
Yes, and I have chosen to go through life completely differently than most people. And that's the whole idea of this teaching, is to figure out a different way to go through life and not be convinced that life is what people tell you it is by watching what's going on out there in the world. I'm going to give you a few examples of this that always come to me through my family. I had a telephone call the other day from my cousin, and she was very upset because her husband was not talking to her. And her husband was not talking to her because they went out with her mother. Now, her mother is 91 years old, my aunt. And the mother fell. And the husband blamed it on the wife, on Joni. Said, it's your fault. You should have been watching your mother. You should have done that. And the mother blamed it on her also. So you see, they got into the blame game. But she called and said, now my husband's not talking to me. He's all upset and all. Now, Joni is 68 years old. Remember when I told you we're all working with the emotions of a 5-year-old? They had all reverted to 5 years. That's what 5-year-old people do. She's 68, her husband is 70 something, and the mother is 91. And they're still 5 years old. They're still acting like 5-year-old children. Do you want your life to be that way? Do you want to reach 68 years and still act like a 5-year-old child? We have to know that there's a different way to approach these things. And it's by noticing what you're doing, what you're thinking, and not think that you can't think something differently. But then, here again, Joni says to me, well, my mother has always been that way. You know, she's never really liked me. Now, at 68, do you want to be saying to somebody, you know, my mother doesn't like me? Now, can you see that this is all childlike things? All childlike things. Now, I had an undercall from a cousin of mine. That's the cousin I may have told you that just came back from Seattle. She had bone marrow transplants. And I asked her how she was doing, and she was going on about this, and she's so worried and she's so upset. About what? I said, well, what are you so worried and upset about? That Madoff, he makes me absolutely mad that he took all those people's money. I had a notion to say, did he take any of your money? Is it any of your business whatsoever? You see, you cannot get involved with all that stuff. If you do, you just pull yourself down. Now, here's a woman recovering from bone marrow transplant, is worrying about somebody else's money, and doesn't have to worry about money. Her and her husband, my uncle, Jim, his father started the company, and they have a school bus company. It's inflation-proof. They always make money. And they make tons of money. Tons. These are the people who own their own plane. And she's worried about somebody else's money. And that they're not getting a good deal. You see, there is a different way to go through life. Do you want this? Is this what you want to spend your life thinking about? Do you want to spend your life acting like a 5-year-old child and never growing up emotionally? I don't think so. I don't want it in my life. And I want to tell these people when they call, so what? Who cares? Get over yourself. You know. But I use compassion. And I do talk to them, and then I try to explain to them, you know, there's a different way to look at this. Now, first of all, if Joni is so upset because her mother doesn't like her after all these years, I said to her, you know, what your mother thinks about you is none of your business. If you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, what do you care what your mother thinks? What do you care what your mother thinks? You have to remember this. Don't care what everybody else thinks about you. What do you think about yourself? If that is so important to her, and she doesn't think much about herself, does she? She doesn't think that she's worthy of anything. So, you see, you get that right back again. There's a completely different way to go through life. Try a different plan. Learn to become a witness to your own thinking. See what your mind is doing to you. See what your emotions are doing to you. And then know that you have a choice. How do I want to react to this? How do I want to react to this? But I think the most important thing to learn is learn to love yourself. Learn to depend on yourself. Learn to know that you're whole and you're complete and you're perfect, that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Don't be looking for that outside of yourself and expect somebody else to give it to you. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. It would be nice. It would be lovely if people would do that. But they're not going to. How many people today heard one compliment about themselves? You heard a compliment. Good. How many people gave a compliment today? Good. You see, we must do this for people. People are starving for a compliment. They're starving to be noticed. And they're starving to be loved. And that doesn't mean hugging, kissing, and having sex with people. It means respecting those people, appreciating those people, and telling them that they're worth something. Because most people run around feeling that they're not worth anything. And they never hear a nice thing that somebody has to say to them. So say nice things to people. And learn to love yourself. It's the only way. Love and honor and cherish yourself. And then you can do that for other people. But don't be 68 years old and acting like a 5-year-old kid. That is absolutely ridiculous. We have to grow up emotionally, mentally, and we don't. We grow up physically, and we still have the emotions of a 5-year-old. You must learn to grow emotionally. So, love yourself. All right. I'm open for questions. This is questions and answers, and I know Laurie has a question, but before you answer, ask me the question, tell me the 3 things that you know.
With God, all things are possible. This or something better to do, and life is limitless.
It's always done unto you.
Always done unto you, or you believe. I think I know that by now.
That's why I keep asking.
Oh, my God. What is it?
You see what happens? That's the 3 things. And remember I told you the story. One night I couldn't remember the meter. I had to get up and look them up. I had to get up myself and look them up. Now I have them written down on a 3x5 card on my desk, so that won't happen to me again. The mind does not want you to know that. The mind does not want you to know that all things are possible with God. You see? Immediately you have to know that. That you can do this and more. Now, one of the master teachers, Jesus, said that. This is something that none of the churches, none of the organized religions, wants to tell their congregants. Because if they do, then they won't have a church anymore. The people will go out and say, well, I can do that. I don't need you. But you have to know that whatever Jesus did, you can do that too. Why? Because God does not show favorites. Jesus was not special to God any more than we, each and every one of us, are special to God. We're all special to God. Why? Because God is in us, through us. You see? You have to know that. And then it's always done unto you as you believe, not as I believe. And you're allowed to believe anything that you want. You're allowed to believe anything that you want. So, if you know that you can do that, why don't you start believing wonderful things about yourself? Why don't you start believing that you're worthy, deserving, totally level born, that you matter? You see, it's a belief. You just have to keep doing it till you convince yourself that that is true. Now, your question.
Okay. So, we've been reading in class, the other class, the Science Mind Text, and we've read the Immortality.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also studying success. And we have to write this essay about how thoughts on immortality as it pertains to successful living. I'd like to know your take on that, because
I'm
thinking, of course, you know, it's all about love and service, and you know, but I wanted to see what you.
Why does everyone say, you know, it's all about love and service? Everyone always says it's all about. How do you know it's all about love and service? And what do you mean by love and service?
Well, I think it has to do with being willing to give and to open up the channels to give. He's talking about the state of consciousness and that you know, giving without the expectation of a return,
yes.
And that opens up channel.
That's a very good concept, and yes, that does work, but it always has to start with you. So the love and service is the love and service that you're giving yourself. You have to start with yourself before you can move out into the world. So give yourself that love, give yourself that service, always nurturing yourself. This thing about immortality, of course, we have spiritual immortality. We do not have physical immortality. Now, there are physical immortality people out there who believe in physical immortality. I believe one of them is Leonard Orr. You can look that up. I do not believe in that. But I do believe I always was and I always will be. Why? Because energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It always is. It changes form. But it's always there. There is no beginning. There is no end. You see? So there is that immortality going on all the time. Now, how does that apply to success? Well, why not make yourself successful in this lifetime and this so that you can take that with you? And you just keep doing that. But you're going to be successful in every life. You just keep doing it till you refine that, till you become successful. Now, the trap with being successful is this. There's a wonderful book out called The Pyramid to Success, or The Pyramid of Success. I think it's just called The Pyramid of Success. And the whole idea there is, every one of us is successful. You have to know that. Remember how many times I said you have to know that you're successful. You have to feel successful. But success is an individualized thing. If you're doing the very best to your ability, you're successful. You see? You're successful. If you can only count to 8 and that's the best you can go, you're successful. If the other person can count to 10 and counts to 10, they're successful. You don't stop is the idea. You do your very best. The best that you can do, not what somebody else can do. Here again, we fall into what the world tells us. And when the world is very convincing, it says, if you're not making $23 million a year, you're not successful. If you're not driving this great big contraption of a car, you're not successful. That has nothing to do with success. What has to do with success is, are you operating at your full potential? Are you operating at your full potential, not somebody else's potential? You see? And each and every one of us is successful. We're all successful. Start with that premise every morning. I am a success. I am a success. Because the mind wants to tell you that you're not. And it wants to tell you you have to get the job. You have to get this. You have to do more. You have to do this. Which keeps you from knowing that you're successful. You have to know that you're successful. The mere fact that you are being makes you successful. Just being makes you successful. But we think we have to do something to be successful. What do I mean, just being? Being yourself. Being that radiant being that you are. Allowing that to come out. That is success. That is success. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does, but in terms of immortality, if we keep growing and we become more successful,
yes,
and then the next life or the next whatever,
yes,
is spiraling, it's ad infinitum, because
yes,
there's no death.
Right.
So the principle is, if you stay with that mindset that you are, you just keep expanding automatically.
Yes.
Into.
What do you think we're all going to eventually expand into? Very easy question. You're going to become God. That's the whole idea of this whole thing. Remember, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Know that ye are gods. You have to keep knowing that. And then you become that. We just forget those things. You're right.
Okay, so assuming that we keep, so the work that we do on another plane, on the spiritual plane, is also in terms of being success, I mean, we're applying a human thing to,
yes,
spiritual concepts.
Yeah, no, here again,
immortal.
You know, I don't like steps and planes,
okay,
and levels and all that. Why? Because there's only the now, there's only the moment. So you have to know that when you say a spiritual plane, you're on a spiritual plane right now.
Right.
It just happens to look physical. But it's a spiritual plane you're on. You have to know that, okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I've been doing is doing the affirmation of, thanking God for being the unique individual I am, and to help me live up to my fullest potential. And how do I know if I'm living up to my fullest potential? How do I know if what, you know, it's like sometimes I'm going, well, I'm just going to sit around and that's the best I can do. Or then there's that feeling that you maybe can be doing more and you're looking for direction of what,
right,
is your fullest potential. And so I struggle with that.
But you know your fullest potential. If you're not, if you're struggling, if you're doubting yourself, then you're not at that potential. But if you're always doing the very best that you can do, then you're at that potential. But tomorrow that potential is going to be up because you've learned something today. So it just keeps going. It just keeps going.
I had a question. A couple weeks ago we had the same discussion we were talking about earlier tonight, and it struck a chord with me. We were talking about being 5 years old in the opening discussion. And right after we had that class, a partner of somebody that I'm very close to came at me, attacked me verbally, and my first reaction was to be a 5-year-old, you know. And it had been an ongoing thing. I'd been disrespected and taken for granted for a while. And finally I decided, you know, I don't want to put myself in this situation. I'm close with, you know, the other person in the situation, but not them. And I don't want to deal with it, and so I'm going to walk away from the situation. Problem is, those people, we have mutual likings, friends, and whatnot, and I'm very close what the, you know, the person, basically I'm close with his girlfriend. It's one of my best friends, actually is my best friend. So I don't know what to do. I don't want to be around the situation because it makes me uncomfortable. And, I basically said, well, I understand, and you know, I won't come around much anymore and all this stuff. And I kind of walked away from the situation, but yet I'm missing my friend. I could go back into the situation and take a different attitude toward it. However, I feel uncomfortable and disrespected in general. I basically felt like I was taking things that I should have taken, and I don't want to be in that situation, so I'm kind of at a loss of what to do.
Well, can you meet with her without him?
Yes.
Come on, then do that.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I basically said, you're making a big deal of it. It's not a big deal. And I said, I don't know. Being in the situation makes me uncomfortable.
She said, you're making a big deal.
Yeah. And I said, well, you know, being in the situation makes me uncomfortable. Being around him makes me uncomfortable. And he's not coming out to apologize anytime soon. And I just yet not to be in the situation.
Well, he may never apologize.
Yeah.
But here, the little thing that I hear here is, it's no big deal. Everything's a big deal. You see, that's how we get ourselves into it. It's not a big deal to her, but it's a big deal to you. You see?
Yeah.
And people say, well, it's no big deal. They're not feeling the same as you're feeling. We often throw a pebble, and by the time it reaches the person, it becomes a boulder, and it knocks them down. And we think, how could that happen? I only threw a pebble. Well, that other person sees it differently. It's done with your perspective. And you already have your little ego mind going because he didn't respect you. You see, anytime you think somebody hasn't respected you, that's your ego talking.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares if people respect you? Do you respect yourself? Anytime you want respect, you're looking for an ego reassurance. Yeah, just walk away from it.
Good.
My suggestion in a case like that, I always just love, bless, and release it. So that the right person will come into my life. You see, people come into your life to go out of your life. You have to remember that. Don't hold on to people. Let them come and go. Let them come and go. I was just remembering something for Andy, and since I see you people making notes here, there are other three things that I have always based my life on. And I mention them periodically, but I may not have mentioned this in a long time. And we started them last week and I never finished them. And they are, I'm always divinely guided. I always take the right turn in the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. Three things to live your life by. Any more questions? Oh, August?
Yeah, a little bit on this. You mentioned that it was last week before about savings.
Yes.
Okay. Is it a matter about the amount that you're saving?
No.
If you save a quarter a week? Or
remember, I suggested a nickel.
Okay, good. Okay. And how does that, because if you're saving, kind of like for what? Because we don't live for the future. You know what I'm saying? We're living for it. We're living in the moment.
Yes.
So this is just to bring consciousness.
Yes.
Awareness. That's
everything we're doing is always to stretch our consciousness and to train our consciousness. Everything we do. People want a prosperity consciousness so that they have money always freely circulating in their life and they always have a divine surplus. You cannot build a prosperity consciousness unless you are saving. And it doesn't matter how much you save. It can be a penny, it can be a nickel, it can be a dollar. But the idea that you're saving tells your consciousness that you're serious about prosperity. And yes, we always live in the now. We always live in this moment. We're always being taken care of. But if you start saving even $1, your mind will not say, where am I going to get the money, what's going on, and all that kind of stuff, which your mind does. You see. And we throw that away. We think, oh, well, God's going to take care of us. This is absolutely true. But God also helps those who help themselves. You see. So to build a prosperity consciousness, part of that is learning to save something. To save something. We never save for a rainy day. We save for an opportunity. There are no rainy days, but there are opportunity days.
Last week I bought a new computer and in cash flow because I had cash and seemed rather than put it on a credit card or, you know, I had an opportunity to buy it and get cash.
Yes.
And I had to save money.
Yes. See how it works? Oh, good. I love these aha moments.
Okay, so to follow up on the prosperity consciousness, what I'm finding I've been struggling with lately, some for whatever reasons in the past, coming from the point of other people are not on board with me. They're trying to deny me that, and they're not on my team. And that thinking is really to my own detriment.
Yes.
And there's two situations going on in my life. People that have done nothing that's been fair to me that I'm projecting, and I'm really trying to shift my thinking that there's going to be some unfairness given. One is with my ex-husband, okay? And the other is with my boss.
Yes.
And a lot of the lack of peace of mind that I'm experiencing and really trying to get over is the mind that's going that I'm trying, it's not my own, but the thoughts come in, that I'm not attributing that they are going to do the right thing and that they have, they're on this, they want to treat me with fairness. I start with the other proposition, even though there's no basis in fact to that, and that is devastating to my well-being.
Yes. So what have you forgotten? You know what you've forgotten. Everybody is God. So they have to treat you fairly. Get rid of the word struggle from your vocabulary. Never use that word, I'm struggling. You're not here on this plane of action to struggle. You're here to overcome. You're here to be victorious. You look out and you start seeing all the wonderful things and start seeing those people as God again. Say to yourself, everyone wants to help me. Everyone wants to give me things. You say, everyone wants to give me money. I did an affirmation years ago, I think I told you, and I had to stop it. But people give me gold. Well, gold chains kept coming, gold braces kept coming, gold watches kept coming. Oh, I've got to stop that one. Not that I mind all that, you know. But you have to put that out there. And you're putting out the opposite. Plus, you're trying to make your life tough. And this struggle and so forth. So you have to see everyone is God. And then you have to sit down and know what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter. And really start loving yourself. You see. Anytime we have this little thing, as much as you have improved, and as much as you love yourself, you just have to love yourself a little more. You see. And you're saying, because your mind sees that part that you don't quite love about yourself. So that's the part that's projecting to those people. They're not going to give me what I want. They're not going to do it. You're saying. But if you sit and you're total in love, you see them as God, they're going to give you everything. They cannot not do it. Okay? It'll work.
Mm-hmm. Because I have so many questions. I'm going to narrow it down to one. Well, I've been saving money. And I was saving it in my desk. And someone broke into my house and stole all my money and my computer. So that was, you know, we talked about this. So keep saving your money, but don't save it in your desk. I had a hard time with the burglar because you know, you were always done as you believe.
It's always done unto you as you believe.
And I couldn't figure out what that was about. But you know, you helped me a lot, and everyone's been really, really supportive and stuff. And you know, but I had nightmares. You know, like, I'm fine during the day, and I'm, you know, I put my stuff away, and I'm just careful, and, but I was having nightmares, like, two or three times a night, and then, like, annoyed with myself, my subconscious, for not following up with my consciousness, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still under there. My therapist says, oh, that's just your, that's the way your subconscious works, it's just cleaning out your crap. So, you know, I'm opening an art gallery for my photos, and it's going to be in 3 weeks, and I also, I pitched my TV series idea to a producer, and they bought it, and so she's already got a studio lined up, and a director, and an actor, and it's like, it's not done yet, I haven't signed anything or got a check, but, along the same lines of, like, my subconscious, I'm afraid that I'm going to throw a wrench in it.
No.
Subconsciously. And I don't want to even go there, no. But you know what I'm saying? Like, my subconscious is having the nightmares about the burglary, and, you know, so, go.
Well, you see, I think you ought to pat yourself on the back and realize, yes, $1,500 was stolen from you, but now a whole new thing has opened up, you see. Which is going to make much more than that. And I told you immediately that the $1,500 will come back to you.
It did.
You see. Nothing is lost in the universe. You have to know. I got a whole house. A friend of mine called me when I was doing practitioner work years ago. And his place was for sale. His house. You know, for sale sign. So these trucks came, and the neighbors thought that he was moving. No, they stole everything in his house. Everything. There was nothing left. And when he walked home, there was nothing. He called. He says, Dallas, they've taken everything. These trucks came. The neighbors said, well, he thought, you know, they saw him all day long. They were there.
Wow.
They took everything.
Smart burglars.
I said to him, what must you know right away? What is mine by right of consciousness cannot be taken from me. It must be returned to me or its equivalent. So we did a treatment, and in about 3 days, the police called, and they found everything in a warehouse. Everything came back to him. Everything came back to him. The reason why it doesn't come back to people is because you use the word lost. And you must know that nothing can be lost in the mind of God. God knows where everything is. So, it'll all come back to you. Your life is now unfolding. So you should jump with joy and say, geez, I'm glad this all happened. Because without that happening, which we look at as something bad, it spurred something else to happen. So your good is always coming to you. Remember, you're always moving from your good to your greater good. From your glory to your greater glory. So now, know that this series, or whatever it is, will work. It'll come to fruition. And you'll be rolling in the dough.
Because of the victory? I thought it was because of you.
Bye-bye. I stole the money.
That's funny.
Everything is connected. Everything is connected. So it'll all work out. So use this time and get over these. First of all, everything, there's not a spot where God is not. So say that to yourself when you go to sleep at night. There's not a spot where God is not. Therefore, there is no fear. You can have fear in God at the same time. And since God is everywhere, there can be no fear. Fear is only in your mind. Remember the whole last month, this month we were talking about mind. Everything's done in mind. It's done in your mind. So, love, bless, and release the people that came into your house. And sit down and love yourself and know that you're being taken care of, you're being watched over, and something wonderful is happening to you. You see? And be thankful that you weren't hurt, you weren't abused, you weren't any of that stuff. You see? And it'll all work out. But you're working on it, you're doing well, just keep being grateful. It'll all come to you. You'll see. You always remember that. Nothing can be taken from you. That's why I can leave my house open and everything. Nothing can be taken from me. Who wants it? It's mine. At the present moment. You know. We only borrow these things. We only use these things while we're here. They really don't belong to us. Any more questions? Yeah.
I can manifest stuff. Thanks to you, Dad. It's not easy. So now, this incredible, exciting time, we rented a townhouse to a great tenant, and now we're looking for a house.
Yes.
So we keep finding a house, and then we find a better house. And I just want it to be done, you know, where I'm going to move it to. But it's exciting. So how do I stop worrying? Enjoy this wonderful time.
Yes. If I stop. Next month, we're talking, or going to talk about worry, shame, and guilt. So this is good that you... It's good you bring that up. So have fun with it. And look, you're always moving from good to great good. And you've done this before. Didn't you do this with the townhouse? Didn't you do this with your horses? One, and then you got a better one. Then you got you wanted one. Then you wound up with three, and all this kind of. So you see, you have to say, "Look, this is how my life runs, and better things are coming." And when that right house comes, you'll know it. And if it's in 2 weeks, if you want, say, put that out there. I want the right house to come to me now. I don't have time. I want the house to come to me now, the right and perfect place.
Trust and enjoy it rather than go.
Well, absolutely. Trust and enjoy it. And let it come to you. You see, that's the problem we have. We think we must go out after everything. You know, they say if you sit still enough, the whole world will come and unroll itself at your feet. But who sits in time for that to happen? We have to, I have to do it, you know. I love God working for me all the time. And to think you don't even have to pay him. Questions?
Your keys.
Hey, keys.
We have to go home and find out
things.
Well, they weren't lost, were they? They're gone right away. No?
I have sometimes a little hard time. I'm trying really to use my intuition more and more to deal with that. Sometimes I get a little confused. Is it my head or is it my intuition?
Yeah.
Is there an easy way to pick which is that? No.
But stop using the word trying. You're either doing it or you're not. There's no such thing as trying. You're saying. If you had shoes on with like mine to tie. I either am tying my shoe or I'm not tying it, but I'm not trying to tie my shoe. So, you want more intuition. You have to say, I want more, I'm looking for it, and I'm understanding it. And then it will come to you, and I'm not confused when it comes, you see. Our minds love to do that to us all the time, keep us confused. Is this really intuition, or am I just making this up? Well, I have news for you. It doesn't matter, really, because you're making all this up. But you just don't know that yet. You're making up your life. You're making up everything. But keep using it. And know that it's working for you.
What are some simple exercises to... I had a large to-do list, and I mean large as far as life-changing things, like quit smoking, go to the gym, that kind of stuff. And there are some other easier things to get that I need to get motivated to do that I actually enjoy doing once I begin. And it's simple things from, like, getting up earlier to start my marketing, to do whatever I need to do. What are some simple exercises to get your mindset in the frame of, I know I enjoy this, stop being lazy and get to it kind of thing?
Well, you see what he did? He made himself lazy. You immediately hit yourself.
Yeah.
Instead of loving yourself, why do you want to call yourself lazy? Why don't you say, I'm energetic. I'm filled with life. I'm filled with vitality. I get up early in the morning
that's
and get my work done.
Yeah.
You don't say that. If you say to yourself, you're lazy, you're going to stay lazy.
Right. So,
yeah, I'm energetic. I'm filled with life. I love getting up in the morning. I love, personally, I love getting up in the morning.
So along that same line, in terms of self-discipline, I mean, I have these things that I would like to, you know, more exercise or working out or, you know, I go in spurts, the cycles with, like, doing affirmations or doing all this stuff, and then I forget about it. So how do you train your, if you want to be more disciplined, if I want to be more disciplined about my, for my health or my fitness, or just as an example, without beating myself up.
Yeah, see, everyone wants to be disciplined, but then they make it so strenuous on themselves and they beat themselves up for it. Remember what the Buddha said, everything in moderation. You have to be able to bend and turn. You have to be able to love yourself. Instead of doing 100 push-ups, one push-up, you see. And then you build upon that. Say, all discipline is done with practice. You just keep practicing. You remember, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Just keep practicing. You see, don't beat yourself up. That's what we do. Oh, I didn't do that today. So what? So what? You're going to live for an eternity. Stop beating yourself up. Start enjoying yourself.
It's interesting because applying that same kind of discipline in other areas, for example, I went through a very, very painful divorce about 4 years ago, and I've never, never enjoyed being alone or being single or anything like that until I started this class. And I got in the mindset for the last, what, couple months, I've just got a kick out of being all alone all day long.
Yeah.
Because my work generally takes me to work on the weekends. So 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'm pretty much by myself. And I've really been enjoying that the last couple of months. And now I'm trying to take that same thought process to filling that time for things that I want to do to make myself greater.
Yeah. Well, take one at a time. You see, most of the people, and you probably do that too, you have too many things on your list, people.
Mm-hmm.
And your mind looks at it and says, no way are you going to do that. Why do you do that to yourself? You know what I do? One thing a day. Now I do many more things. But if I can get one thing done a day, The other day it was I had to fix a light. I had to put a new three-way switch in. I said, if I'm going to do that, and I'm going to pat myself on the back for doing that. And I did it, patted myself on the back. I got one thing done. Now I got other things done during the day. But I don't say, now I'm going to do this, 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 this. Do one thing. And be pleased with yourself for doing that one thing. And then you'll do another, you see. But we look at that. We get up in the morning and you have a list of 100 items to do. Well, who? That's discouraging right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
One thing. Just pick one thing and do it. You don't have to do all that stuff. One thing.
I think you and I have talked about this before. You know, my brother owes me $300,000 from my father's estate, and I've been, you know, trying to get it from him for 7 years. And I finally, you know, back and forth with the lawyers and all this money. And we finally, like 2 weeks ago, we're suing him for $385,000. And so we get this 45-page document from him, and I'm reading it this afternoon. You know, and it just goes on, and I just want to go to bed.
Yes.
And not get up. How do I?
Well, when you get into those entanglements like that, it's very difficult to get yourself out of them. But here again, love that, bless that, and release that, and know that God is at work for you, that God is in your brother, as he's in everything else, and that it's going to resolve itself in a good manner for the best of all those concerned. For the best of all those concerned. And you'll get that money. But the more you go through legal documents, the more you do that. Everything is done in mind. Everything is done in your consciousness. It's not done on all this paperwork and so forth. It's done in your thinking. Stop hating your brother.
Can I hate my lawyer?
Pardon?
Can I hate my lawyer?
No, you have to surround everything with love. Just keep loving yourself and loving them and seeing the money coming to you. But as soon as you get into the hate, as soon as you get into that, that pushes things away. That holds things back. Yeah.
But I also want the money.
Of course you want the money. But stop hating. It'll make you feel better. And then the money will come to you. Yeah. We get into these situations, we get ourselves out of it. What is yours by right of consciousness must be yours. So if your father wanted you to have that, you will get that. Thomas, no question?
No, I was just thinking when you talked about the tribe.
Oh.
I was at this training class, and they did something where they said, I love something, and they would hold their finger like this. You couldn't pull it apart. But if they said, I will try to love whatever they said.
Yes.
And there's like a big hockey player up there, and this lady, you know, she was like, it doesn't work out or anything. She's like, can't pull my finger apart. But he said that. And then he goes, I will try to love God or whatever he says.
Yeah.
There's, I guess the try is just.
There's no power in the word try.
Okay, there you go.
And it's a loophole that we use.
Oh,
it's like hope. Yes. We have many loopholes that we use our mind uses to keep us from getting what we want.
Maybe.
Maybe. Someday. We have all kinds of words that we use just to keep us going. You see. But you want to be able to manifest what you want and to have what you want. And it's done with the power of your thinking, the power of your words, and the power of your feelings. Feelings are very, very important. That's why we stay away from the feeling of hate. Hate does nothing but cause physical damage to your body. Some people think that they're getting back at the other person if they hold hate. But hate will hurt you. It never hurts the other person because the other person does not know that you hate them. Only you know that. So, always learn to love. And it's, sometimes it's not as easy, you see. Loving people does not mean you have to take them to lunch, you know. Sometimes you can only love somebody if they're in another state. Say across the country, you can love them better, you know. But it's hate that will get you every time. More questions? Come on. No. Aha.
I've come across after manifesting things in my life that are really easy, like part-time job, get paid 3 times more than everybody else, and I can be with that for maybe 6 months, and then I start getting guilt, like this is too good, or like maybe, I don't know, just these thoughts, and I try to tell myself that nothing's, you know, too good to be true or too good to last, and but how can I completely eliminate that?
By loving yourself. Because if you think, you know, that you're not worthy, deserving, totally level when you don't matter, then people give you 3 times as much as the other person, your mind is going to say what and tear that apart for you. So you have to say, I'm worth this, and I'm worth even more than this. You have to do that in your mind. Good. It's all done in the mind. That's what this whole month has been about. What is your mind doing to you? What is your mind saying to you? And what are you saying back to your mind? You are not your mind. Your mind is yours. You must learn to use your mind. It's going to tell you all kinds of praises. Do you want to go down that road? Or do you want to choose? It's always a matter of choice, life. You can choose to be the 5-year-old or you can choose to grow up. Most people do not know that they have that choice, and they don't do it because everybody else is doing it. Get into a love affair or into a marriage and you will see 5-year-old kids fighting with each other all the time. Husband and wives immediately fight with each other because there's a power struggle going on. And that power struggle is from the 5-year-old kid who wants to take his marbles and go home. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. So see what your mind is doing to you. This is called science of mind.
It's interesting that, as in her example, we are creating our own reality, so we have created these opportunities for us, the next gig, the next job, the next show, the next whatever, on that higher level, and it stretches our consciousness, and then, like, are we going to hold on to it and go beyond that, or shrink back? And, yeah, it's like, well, why shouldn't we hold on to it? Because we created it.
Yeah. Something about consciousness that you should know. Once consciousness is stretched, it never goes back. Once you're out in the workforce and you're making, say, $50,000-$60,000 and you lose that job, you don't go back to taking a $30,000 job. You go up to a different level. You never shrink back in the world. You're moving from your good to your greater good, from your glory to your greater glory, not backwards. But the mind wants to tell you that. Now I have to take this job. Look what's going on out there. These people are saying, I can't get the job. I have to take this other job. I have to take this lower paying job. I have to take... That's all in their thinking. I have a friend. I often talk about him, I think. His name's John Mackey. Oh, he came to class one time, way back when, and told you how marvelous I was. He just, in this horrible economic situation, just got a new job. Much better pay, more benefits, longer vacation, 3 weeks to start. He's in the book publishing business. Who's buying books? You would think that would be one of the things that would be affected by the economy. Well, you see, he doesn't believe in the economy. So he's got this job. And I got him the other job, by the way, that he has in New Jersey at the present moment. And he said, well, I don't know if I should take it. I think I should be there a year before I think of anything. Well, this job came. I said, don't think that way. Who made that rule up that you have to be someplace a year before you can change a job? Well, would it look bad for him? He said, well, it won't look bad for you, not if you're doing the job correctly. Well, these people were very impressed. He's got that. But here's the other thing. Now, remember I said, be creative during this economic uproar that's going on? He's bought 3 homes. 3 investment properties he's bought since this whole thing started. So you see, there's a completely different way to go through life than most people do. Choose that different way. Don't let the world convince you. Don't let race mind convince you that this is what's going on. Be an exception to every rule. You are a unique individual. You are a unique expression of this thing called God. You are magnificent beings. Use that. You're wonderful. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.